Previously on the Adventure Zone Ethersea.
Beck, Skittles, get to our ship now.
I do not know where Emery is. He may be dead.
Let's do an old Wild West quick draw. You go to throw your net over onto Guthrie, but you are just a fraction of a moment too slow as he draws a hand crossbow and puts a bolt right in your chest. And he goes in the recall pod, and you all watch it zip away.
All right, you weird son of a bitch. It's time to wake up.
As you jam that strong yum nut spice into his smelling holes, the bolt is loosed enough for you to remove it.
By the authority of the chaperones, this vessel is ordered to follow us into docking procedures with Founder's Wake.
I need you and your friends to follow me. I'm here to bring you to the curator. He owes you an explanation.
We've just returned from going to the museum where the stuff was. Guthrie blew up the other ship. At least it appears that way. It killed that other captain. Beck and Skittles the octopus came back with us, but Guthrie got away in the escape pod. When we returned, we were approached by the paramilitary group, and then they brought us into the main hub of the dock, where we were met by an emissary of the curator who said that the curator was waiting to speak to us.
So the next few minutes are a flurry of activity. A fleet of dock workers set upon the dreams of Debra, beginning the extensive repairs required after your dog fight and your turtle fight, all under the barking orders of the fancy man who...
I thought we agreed on fish fight.
It was a fish fight, but then there was a turtle fight. See, this is why it's confusing. You're probably not going to fight a dog
this
under
the
ocean.
This is what I'm saying. Fish fight. Okay.
So Beck and Skittles are apprehended by the chaperones with five sets of handcuffs total. You are placed in a wheelchair and hooked up to a tank of fluid sort of hanging off its back. And moments later, Zooks, you are revived. You aren't dead, but you are unconscious. You are coming to as you and your party, now led by this huge dude in the black suit, are taken up the Crystal Ascension and into the conservatory. And this tier of the city, I don't know if any of you have really spent a whole lot of time here. It is unlike the others. It is this lush, well-tended, grassy park, basically. There are these pristine white buildings that sit nestled between these gentle rolling hills. There's galleries and museums and a concert hall, and sort of the biggest building here is the headquarters of the Benevolent Parish. But the building that you all are being led to by this dude in the suit isn't quite as fancy as all that. It's just this sort of unassuming squat tower by the salt glass exterior wall overlooking the ravine outside. And this guy in the suit ushers you in, and you find yourself in an office with the same, you know, wide oceanic view. And there's a wild-haired, bushy-bearded man seated at a wide, messy desk. And he waves off your guide, and he walks around the desk to greet you all. And he says, "Hello! Hello, come on in. Come in, come in. Can I get you something to drink? Water?"
Devo turns to Amber and Zooks and says, "Let me handle this." "Hello. My name is Jack Noir. I'm a private detective. I am sorry for the confusion. I was hired by the Cern family to investigate a Brynar named Guthrie, who they suspect of being a murderer and all-around bad person. And so we went undercover to work with him. And so you see, everything we did was in the pursuit of law and order. And now, if you will excuse us, we will get out of your hair.
Do you turn to get out of his hair?
Yes.
Okay.
Of which there is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, the curator looks at the three of you, specifically you, Jack Noir.
Jack Noir, private detective.
Very confused. Make a deception roll for me there,
Devo. Okay. That's a nat one.
Oh, that's so good.
Indeed it was. I love it when the numbers back up reality.
Okay, then, you know what? I was going to say, the curator looks at you and he's confused. The curator is not confused. He gestures to the guy who led you up here. And he actually says, docent, can you? And this guy, the docent, grabs you by the shoulders and says, why don't you have a seat? And sort
okay.
of the curator said, is that your real voice?
No, this is my real voice. Yes, this is the voice of Jack Noir, okay. Private detective.
I should start with this. None of you are in trouble.
Oh, this is, oh, okay. This is good.
Here, kind of a surprise.
He walks over to a teapot and pours a couple, just he, you know what, he pours it around and he just like sets it on his desk and he sits down and he says, no, I brought you up here to explain. If anything, I am the one who should apologize to you for the terrible inconvenience that you all have faced. And here I am inconveniencing you, bringing me into my office when I'm sure the three of you probably just want to, you know, go have a fish stick and a nap. But
this does sound good, yes. A fish stick would be. Oh, I miss them.
Are the three of you okay? Are you hurt? Are you injured?
Well, Zooks was hurt very bad, yes.
I'm fine. I'm okay.
I can see this. I'm very sorry. I need to tell you the truth about Guthrie, although I am sure you have figured out some of it on your own. Guthrie is a source for my collections here. As you know, I am almost single-handedly responsible for collecting the relics of the surface world, and Guthrie has proven a very prolific donor to my galleries. And for that, I say donor, he has been handsomely paid. But the veracity of his works have come under some scrutiny lately, let's say. And so we have had him investigated. By a detective not unlike yourself, Mr. Noir.
Oh, my name is Divo LeMain.
Oh, right.
Jack Noir was just, he is a figment that I created.
The curator looks at you, Amber, and says, I'm very sorry, I did not ask your name.
Do I do a fun one, or?
This is up to you. If you want to do a fun one, you can. I have drops a fun one, but. Whatever you want.
My name's Kurt Schwiggums.
Roll a deception check.
19 minus 1.
It's good to meet you, Kurt. Ms. Figgums?
Just Kurt is fine.
Okay. Kurt. Kurt, Devo, Zooks. I should show you.
No, I decided Ms. Figgums.
All right, Ms. Figgums, Zooks. Devo, let me show you something. Docent, and the guy in the suit walks into a side room and brings in a painting, a big painting in a sort of gold embossed frame. And I don't know how much of I guess Amber or Devo, you all might be familiar with, you know, some surface world culture, particularly you, Amber, seeing as, you know, you lived there. But this painting is, you recognize it. Like, without a history roll or anything like that, you know what this is. It is a very, very famous It is a very famous piece of art by the painter Sable Corasol. He says, "This is, we have learned, not the genuine article. And in fact, Guthrie was making his way out to the gallery where you all faced your misfortune, not to recover the works of art located there, but rather to destroy them, so that his malfeasance, his deception, would not be uncovered. So that's kind of why that happened. And we had an inkling and could have said something about it, could have probably arrested him on suspicions before he set out on your ill-fated journey, but we wanted to be certain. And because of that, you all have faced such hardships, and I am genuinely very sorry."
This... So, you waited, and because of this, Zooks almost died, and more than this, a man that a new friend of mine cared very much about did die. And now a child is on her own because you waited.
He looks aghast when you say that. He says, I did not know about.
Guthrie killed a man named Imory, leaving a child to fend for herself.
He stands and whispers something in the docent's ear, and he nods and walks off. And he says, I will make sure that this child is not hassled by the chaperones, and I'm very sorry to hear about that.
Please have it taken to Brother Seldom.
I will do that. You have my word.
The octopus too.
There's an octopus?
Yes, the octopus.
I love octopus.
He is a very good guy. Make sure he goes to Brother Seldom as well.
Are we? I don't want to be rude. But I don't necessarily care if I am. Are we done?
This is a good question.
He says, I want to make sure that you all are compensated for your hardships, because I cannot help but feel partly responsible for them. And he walks over to his desk and he opens up a drawer. And he picks up a clipboard and he turns it and he slides it towards you. And he says, I am willing to compensate the three of you handsomely. 25 lux, to be specific. But for this, I would only ask one thing, and that is for your discretion. I would ask you to sign this non-disclosure agreement that says you will keep what happened to you on your adventure, if we could call it that, a secret. The works that are in our galleries are incredibly important to the future of our society. And though Guthrie submitted certain counterfeits, not everything we have is phony baloney. And I worry that if this story got out, then that would become the narrative. So I'm willing to offer you 25 lux for your silence. And he slides the clipboard towards you.
We need, could you please give us, a second to discuss this in private?
Of course. Here, have the room. And he stands up and he walks out of the room.
I am very new to money. Is this a lot of money? I have absolutely no idea.
Is this a lot? I mean, for me, who's sort of... I'm on the unemployment spectrum, I would say. It is a considerable sum, yeah. I think we could probably, you know, scrounge a bit more, Keppa.
You know, it occurs to me, Zooks, you were the one most affected by this in a very painful way, and taking this money means that you would be unable to pursue any kind of legal recourse against Guthrie, and I do not think this is our decision to make entirely. What are your thoughts?
Whatever you want. Whatever you two...
Zooks, you seem so sad.
I'm having a great deal of trouble wrapping my head around what's been going on for the last few days. I thought I was dead. And it was not a pleasant reminder of what being dead is like. That on top of the fact that, you know, Guthrie's the one that told me not to stick a weapon in somebody's face. And the minute I didn't stick a weapon in somebody's face, I got shot and almost killed. And I didn't like it. And I don't know what to think. So whatever you two want. I would just say make it divisible by three so we don't have an argument about splitting up the money. Maybe 27.
Well, that's in my not 30, you know?
Or 24.
30 feels clean.
30 feels very clean, yes. And I was thinking we could use this money to get the ship so that we could get jobs. So then we would not need to split it. We would use the money. I assume
investing
is this enough money to get a ship? I do not. I, honest to God, I have no idea.
I can answer that. 25 is enough to get you a ship. Maybe not, you know, heated seats. Maybe not a Bose bassy sound system in it.
Maybe a leak or two.
Yeah. It might be a leak or two. No,
so, 25 a premium pre-owned vehicle is what you're telling
yes.
us.
Yes. This is within the price range sort of outlined by Mona. Not a lot of 25 would not give you much to chop and screw it with, but it would be enough to sort of satisfy the basic requirement of employment at the Blue Span Brokerage.
And I'm sure they've got that stuff that you know, smear on a screen and it becomes watertight that guy sells.
Yes. Scotch guard this whole thing.
Yeah.
Griffin, you know, how much, for my own edification, how much is the improved crew quarters cost in station? There's no cost listed.
I
have a reason for asking. Would you say 5 would cover it?
I mean, it 25 is not enough to I think get those kinds of improvements. You would need more.
Okay.
You Devo wouldn't know that, so I don't.
Okay. Then
I feel particularly compelled to.
Okay.
What about buying the dreams of Deborah?
You could not. 25. Are you kidding me?
It's pretty
for the
beat
dreams
up.
Dreams of Deborah. It's a choice, baby. Are you kidding me?
That's a sweet ride, man. You can't. You can.
Okay. I think if you're ready to bring the curator back in.
Ready to bring the curator back in?
Are we ready to give him an answer?
Yeah.
He comes back in. What have you decided?
I think that this could be equitable, but I would like to add two conditions. Because this money will not only go to us, we are also going to use it to make sure that the young girl and the octopus that I mentioned will have a home. So you will increase this accordingly. And also, completely off the records, you will do everything in your power to help us locate Guthrie moving forward.
He laughs. He says, oh, you have my word that is my top priority. I'm sorry, that sounded maybe like it was like I was laughing at you and that like lying. No, yes, I will find him and I will put his bleached bones on display as beautiful art.
Yes, we would like to be a part of this art making process.
Yes, it'll be a group murder process and I'll shoot you an invite. And we'll get together and we can all sort of ritually murder this person. And that'll be fun. We'll make a day of it.
Seconded.
Okay. So
You're really busting my gooners here. How much are you asking?
35.
6. 30, 36.
36. Clean split. It's a clean split. And with an added benefit, as we are using the ship we will buy, we will keep our eyes open for works of art or things of this nature, and we will bring them to you to sell them to you before anyone else.
Roll a persuasion check, Devo.
That is a 17 plus 7, a 24.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, listen, I had you guys.
Devo,
yeah, no, I had y'all level up, and we'll talk about the things you leveled up. But I assume you're fucking plus set. God, your skills are bonk. Okay, we'll talk about it. He says, okay, you sign the non-disclosure agreement. You promise to offer me right of first refusal on any recovered relics you may discover out during your travails. And I would ask one more thing. Was anything recovered from the Corusol Gallery?
We had a little scrap, right? Like, wasn't there a little scrap of painting?
Yes. You don't, whether or not you...
I wasn't involved with that. Yeah. I just heard it on the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
I actually have something. I don't know how much it's worth, but here. And he holds out the scrap. Did we establish that it has Sable's signature on it?
I cannot remember, but when you hand him this scrap, he slides you over the clipboard with the non-disclosure agreement on it and hands you all a pen, and then reaches down in his desk and pulls out a little box and opens it up and removes 36. I don't know what Lux looks like. I'm imagining kind
of
like...
Go with hexagonal. Griffin, hexagonal coins? Really cool.
I'm thinking more like interlocking blocks. Mm. Like interlocking translucent purple blocks that, you know, when they lock together in certain quantities, they change color. And that's how you know, like, oh, well, this is 10.
I do like that.
Eyesight.
That's cool.
That's sweet.
So he slides 36 of those across the table to you all, and then he stands up and actually takes that scrap over
This is so embarrassing. The 36 is the cost of our silence. The scrap will need to be negotiated separately.
He turns to look at you, Devo, and his demeanor has changed completely. He looks angry, not at you, but he looks when he saw what you handed him, he looks like heartbroken and angry. And he walks over to the painting and holds up the scrap, and you can see where it lines up with this forgery. And he takes it back to you and throws the scrap back on the table. And he says, I don't need to pay for it. I don't need this.
So we could take this out and sell it to somebody else. I believe you have just refused it first, if I remember.
Fine, I will give you 40 for everything.
42.
As we said, this must be a clean split. 42. Final offer.
Or 39.
No.
Roll another. Hey, this is a separate deal. Make another persuasion check. This one's going to be high.
That's a nat 20. Plus 7.
Holy fucking shit. Let y'all trust me on this one.
That is
We're doing
fucking
it in the app.
Wild. Okay. He takes out.
But you know what? You're like, laugh it up now. That he just used that fate. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that karma for three.
Listen, if we're going to use this money to buy our ship, dude,
Yeah, but like someone's gonna be like swinging the hammer of Delphar at you at some point. Yeah. You're gonna need these.
Oh, I'm gonna beef it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You'll be like, but my gold cup, my three,
but my lux,
but my three lira, my zinni.
Okay, he takes out six more of those blocks and throws them down, and they some of them snap together to create now 42 lux, a king's ransom, I will say.
Yeah.
And then he grabs the scrap back and shoves it in his desk drawer, and he says, "Please sign it and go. And I suppose we will be in touch."
Can Zooks make a perception check as to whether or not he knows the one he has on his wall is a fake?
He said that much.
The one he brought in is a forgery. That is what he said.
Okay.
Some of the things that Guthrie brought in, including this like masterpiece, are forgeries.
And the real one was destroyed.
Okay.
You get the impression that as somebody who is spent most of his life sort of solely responsible for making sure this exact thing doesn't happen, he's having a pretty fucking bad day now. And he basically is no longer sort of speaking with you. He's just kind of looking out at the ravine outside.
Well, Devo signs it, takes the money, and goes.
Amber, Zooks? Amber, what name do you sign it with?
Ambergris. I've already forgotten the whole thing.
French Dillips?
It was Clunch Figgins.
Something like that. Figgums?
Something like that. All right.
Clunch Figgums. It doesn't matter.
And Zooks?
And when Amber looks at it and he notices that Amber signed it Ambergris, and she looks at him and says, "Checkmate."
Zooks, are you signing as well?
Sure. Yeah, okay. He signs. But he signs it backwards.
Okay.
Gzooz?
That'll show him.
All right. Lesson learned. Okay. He turns back and says, "Thank you. My docent will show you out." And the docent shows you out.
And the docent does. Roll for docent.
Y'all got some money to throw around now. I will say your trip back home was much slower than your trip out. So you are not in danger of running out of your sort of 48-hour deadline, but like it is the day of. And so what
happens?
It's
time to take care of this.
Yeah, it's time to take care of this. You don't have a ton of time to kill, but you got enough to.
Then let's go to Mona's.
Okay.
Enough farting around, Griffin.
It's cool. You zip on up the Crystal Ascension up into Mona's.
Oh, here in the elevator, it's fair. Like, Amber, I have to ask. I'm not all that good with the social situations just yet. Did I overplay that?
I mean, check your wallet, bud.
I mean, I know, but...
seems like it went okay.
But at the beginning, he seems like he liked us. And by the end, he seemed a little pissed.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think there were some some currents we couldn't necessarily see from the surface. But, I mean, I ain't sweating it, honey. Listen, we got 42 lux in our pockets. I think things are going fine. Don't second guess yourself too much. You know, you can play it safe and skate by. Then you end up bellying. What was the point? I say go big. Go big and get that money, you know?
This works for me. Thing. Yeah, I agree with this. It will make us more comfortable. Give us room for... Oh, I should ask.
I'd be careful. Can I say one thing, though?
Yeah.
I do want to point out, I would be careful with the fibbing. That didn't seem to be your strongest.
I practiced this all the way back from...
Maybe that was made it worse. Overthink it. You ever think too hard about how to tie your boots, and then you go to do it, and it won't come?
Mine zip up.
Nice.
Yes, they're very nice. Yes.
Real nice.
I should ask, so that we are all on the same page, I would like to perhaps extend an offer to Beck and Skittles in positions in our crew, in our new ship. But I suppose as a team, I should speak with you before I do this.
Fuck no.
Now,
I'm not split in five ways. It's going to be hard enough to make a live with three of us.
Let them work on commission. Could they work on commission?
What do you mean for every fridge they sell, they get another two lux? What do you mean commission?
Yeah, like a percentage of whatever we take in.
I was...
A small, tiny little percentage.
I mean, can't we try it with the three of us first and see? I mean, we're barely sort of filling out how we gel. I don't want to necessarily bring in a bunch of other hungry mouths.
And that would give them a chance to recover from their awful tragedy as well.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we do a mission just us.
Yes. How about this, right? We will set them up. I will get Beck enrolled in the school here with Brother Seldom. And perhaps Skittles can attend the school as well. I do not know what the position is on octopuses, but I assume Brother Seldom will be open to this. And then they are there if we ever need to hire them for a job.
Of course.
Yes?
Sounds good.
Yes?
Absolutely.
There's one guy in the corner of the elevator who's just been quiet the whole time. Can I work? Can I have a job?
No, I'm sorry. We are not hiring. Can I have a job?
Are you?
Now this guy here?
Yep.
You all see the spark, right? You all see it, right?
He looks like a real pervert to me.
I put my arm on his shoulder. Now look at this fucking Clasper. Look at his face.
No, he has the face of a pervert.
What's your name? Don't think. Just answer.
No.
No?
I don't want to tell you my name.
That's good instincts. You can't teach that.
Classic pervert dodge.
Do you know a guy named Guthrie?
Oh, yes. We should start asking this of everybody.
Yeah, we'll ask around.
Yeah, Mr. No.
He's our fucking Count Rook.
Or doctor.
I am a doctor, a medical doctor.
Dr. No. Okay.
No, that's not my name.
You said your name was No.
Let's move on.
Shaq.
Dr. Shaq?
My name is Dr. Shaq.
Griffin, I want to warn you, Griffin. Listen. I want to say something about the Adventure Zone. We're going to take a quick break here because I need to say something. Making up fake things about someone is the Beetlejuice of Adventure Zone. So far... You've made up two things. Mm-hmm. It's the voice and the name Dr. Shaq. Now, I am telling you now, as a fair warning as your brother, that if you make up one more thing about him, you'll never be rid of him. Ever. We'll be obsessed. This is your warning. This is your one warning about Dr. Shaq. He could get off at the next floor. Or he could have one more facet, which is enough to make him a living, breathing human.
The door actually opens, and it's not up to the gunwale yet. And he steps out, and he says, "I'm sorry to bother you guys. I really don't usually put myself out like that. I'm just really..." And his neck expands like a puffer fish, because that's his like fish-like thing. And he's like, there I go.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Is that a third thing? Da, 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 da.
Fairhaven's a city in a bubble. An actual bubble. It keeps the monsters out. Most of them, anyway.
I never liked the look of movies on Blu-ray. For my money, Betamax is the superior format.
I'm thinking of deleting Facebook and going back to MySpace.
As far as beverages go, I'm just kind of over water.
Though I guess at any given party, you're gonna meet some dudes like that, even if you're not in the middle of a nightmarish wasteland. Bubble, the sci-fi comedy from MaximumFun.org. Just open your podcast app and search for Bubble.
You all get off at the gunwale and make your way over to Desdemona's hall. And Mona doesn't even sort of see you all as you all walk in. She has her her tone wheel headphones on, and she's just kind of bumping it. And she turns and sees you and pulls them off and says, "Ah, okay, so, like, how'd it go? Where's my split, you know? Did y'all, you know, make it back with the goods? Or what was the, how'd it go?"
No, it turns out Gusri is just a real asshole.
Who's that?
It was the guy we went to meet. But so we ended up going, we didn't go on the adventure at all. We did find a kind benefactor who gave us money for a ship.
Oh, good. All right, cool. I'll be straight. I was worried about y'all, and I was feeling a little bit guilty about it. But if I find out, like, that everything's great and that you actually had a pretty kick-ass day, then that really alleviates a lot of the pressure off me, the salesperson. So thank you. So y'all got the money?
Well, we signed an NDA, Griffin.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't say that to Mona. I said that to you.
Right. No, we sound alike. I've got a cold. she says, all right, so... Y'all in the buying mood then?
Yes.
I think we'd like to make a deal. Maybe. You know, we're still kind of on the fence. You know what? This isn't a good idea. We should go. I'm sure there's another place.
What are you talking about? We're here to buy a ship. We need a ship or else we cannot get work.
I'm kind of with Amber because I can swim underwater. I don't know if we need
this does not make any sense. We have to go very far away. Well, so we need the ship. Without the ship, we cannot get the job.
There's probably other places to buy a ship, right?
Mona, I do not know what they are talking about. We need the ship and... Oh, I see. Oh, I understand what you are doing. Yes. Yes. Maybe we do not need the ship.
Do y'all want a minute to, like, get your negotiating, like, tactics?
No, just tell us what you got.
I mean, I got...
Fuck.
I got, like, whatever you want. Cool cuss, by the way.
Real choice.
Cool job. Here, I'll show you some of my sort of less dilapidated stock. And she...
Don't hold back.
She opens up the this large door but behind her sort of sales desk here and walks you through and she flips a couple switches and lights illuminate.
She got a showroom?
It's not much of a showroom as much as it is a sort of an indoor junkyard. Like there are definitely a lot of ships here that are just stacked to the rafters. And then there's a few that are out for display. And some of them are, you know, they aesthetically, they look very, very nice. The interior quality of them, you are not quite as certain about. But she walks you through and she says, yeah, so knowing y'all's budget, I think maybe these shinier ones aren't your... If you see one that, like, light reflects off of the surface of it, just assume that it's probably too expensive.
How much would this be, the shiny ones?
I mean, this one here is 60 lux. OBO, as we say.
I will give you 5 lux for it.
Make a roll. If you say the shit, you make the roll.
10 plus 7, 17.
No. 5? No. I said no. I said 60.
Is there a... This is a sort of a meta question, but is there a floor on that? Like, you know, if you try to buy something that's $100 for a dollar, like, there's zero
if you had
amount
crit,
of rolling.
If you had crit, I would have countered, but yeah. Not with the...
Okay, got it.
I don't know if y'all are serious anymore. Why don't you just take a look around and holler if you see something that catches your eye? And she walks back into the front room and you all basically have free rein in here to walk around and look at the inventory. It is a sprawling showcase though. So I had an idea for how to sort of find y'all's ship and it's going to be...
Let our hearts guide us.
Well, it's I'm thinking more of a sort of design by committee idea. Because your ship, whatever you end up with, is going to be the main setting, I would say, for this campaign. It is going to be y'all's home. It is going to be where you live and what you invest most of your earnings into to, you know, continue to take on tougher and tougher jobs. So it's like an important thing. And, you know, it's much like how the fifth Sex in the City person is
what
the city.
Sex?
Well, that's the sixth one, as we all know.
And the seventh is Baralug.
He's an
demon.
Entity.
Yeah, from the ancient
different plane.
One. Yeah.
He lives in the sewers. And the eighth is just the fashion. But for y'all, it's I mean the ship is going to be important. So
the ninth is Ghost Rider. Go on.
I want you all to do a D20 roll, and I'm gonna just ask you all some questions.
So okay. Should we do the roll now?
Yeah, just do the roll now, and this roll will determine sort of the order in which you will answer the questions.
I got a 7.
That's a 7 for Devo, a 19 for Zooks.
Damn.
The J-Man pulls a 16.
Okay. So the first question goes to Zooks, and I have these kind of ordered roughly in, like, impact on what the ship is and what the ship is going to look like. And so, Zooks, you get to answer the first question. You are the first one to notice this ship. And these questions, by the way, I want you to answer very specifically. I do not want you to sort of go broader on the answers because you might sort of bleed over into another question. I want you to answer specifically what I ask about the ship. And as we go along, we will paint a picture together of what this ship looks like. So, Zooks, this ship catches your eye. Maybe it's not sort of on the showroom floor. Maybe you find it behind a couple stacks. But you see a ship, and though you are new to life, Zooks, you sort of recognize this ship as being of a design of a certain purpose. This ship belonged to a certain vocation before. It was piloted by people who had a job to do, and that is my question. What was this ship's former purpose? And I want you to keep in mind, like, what that could mean for the undersea city of Founder's Wake, right? Like, what are some reasons that you might need a ship other than just, like, going out and adventuring? Whether it's, you know, transportation or delivery or, you know, smuggling, if you want to go a sort of Millennium Falcon route with it. What is this ship's former purpose that you find?
Exploration.
Can you be more specific than just exploration?
I think it's designed for mostly a case of durability. I think for deep water survival.
Okay.
Go down to the depths to survive the crushing pressures of deep seas.
So it's a deep water submersible, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, everything in this that we're dealing with is a submersible, right?
Yes. But I mean, like, there's a different design to, like, the ships that they take, like, into the Marianas right. Trench and shit.
Right. When I say specifically, I didn't mean sort of more specific to the purpose, but rather the purpose itself, right? When you say exploration, that could mean, it could mean, like, one of those ships that found the Titanic, one of those big bulbous boys, or it could be, like, a glass bottom boat. It could be...
Well, do you want me to be specific? Because I had something in mind when you asked me that.
As long as it's about the sort of vocation that the ship sort of fulfilled and not the design of it.
Oh, well.
What did you have in mind?
A bath escape. You know, something that incorporates a bathysphere, but is still sturdy and bigger.
Okay, I feel you. That is broad enough, I think. If we stop there, basically, this ship that you find... Maybe you've seen one, right? Because you have a bit of cartography training. It is a big, not sleek, not stylish looking like unit at all. It is broad and wide, and it has space for.
I'm looking at a picture of a bath escape. Really
cool. Yeah, it's nothing like particularly intricate or anything like that, but it is a hardy vessel, and it doesn't look flashy in any way, but it doesn't look like it has leaks in it, because if that was the case, it would implode under the sort of deep sea pressure it was kind of designed to navigate. Okay. Next we go to Amber. Amber.
Yeah.
Now we're going to build on these questions, right? But don't feel like you have to, we all maybe just looked at a picture of a bath escape. Don't feel like you need to like answer like what a bath escape looks like. Cause you know, okay. I want a zebra to come out of this, not a horse or a camel, I guess is what is designed by committee. Zooks calls you over and shows you the ship. What does its propulsion system look like?
Propulsion system.
And don't feel like you need to answer based on like physics or what is real. Like, I want you to answer based on what you think is cool. Some inspiration here, like the sort of dual rails of the Enterprise or the sort of horizontal slit of to return to the Millennium Falcon. Maybe it's big turbines. Maybe it's a propeller. Maybe it's, you know, whatever.
You know how if you get in like a bubble tub, there's like the bunches and bunches of little holes that the bubbles come out of?
A bubble tub.
Like a jacuzzi.
Ah, yes, of course.
You know what I mean? You know, like in a jacuzzi?
A jacuzzi, yeah.
There's like the bunch of the little holes where the bubbles come out.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
You made me Google bubble tub, and then it was like, do you mean bathtub? And I was like, click, yes. And then it was like, here's what bathtubs look like.
Here's
I was
a
like,
bathtub, you unwashed monster.
You know, like a bubble tub.
Right, okay.
So, and it's got like all the little holes where the bubbles come out, right?
Right.
Yeah. So this is like, there's the ship's surrounded by like a pressurized air bladder around all sides with all these like holes. And depending on where the jets blow out, that's it pushes in that direction.
Okay.
So it's like fully maneuverable depending on where the air jets shoot out of.
Okay.
So it's not just like propelled in one direction. You can kind of shift the where you want the airflow to be dispatched from.
Cool. And I imagine that also has a sort of ballast effect also, right? That's how they, you know, how you go up and down in submarine.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
You make the air go to different parts of the ship or release it or whatever. Okay, cool. That is sick. Devo, you walk over now too, and you see Amber and Zooks eyeing this ship. My question for you, with the same sort of like principle of Amber's decision there, is where is its bridge located and what does it look like?
Ooh, okay.
Bridge being not a, you know, structure connecting to land masses, but
I know,
a
Griffin. I know
for
that.
For the listeners at
God,
home.
That was insulting.
God bless, man.
Oh, God.
I'm an Griffin. Adult.
Right, okay.
I've watched movies and TV shows before.
He watches movies and TV shows.
I would say that, so you have a somewhat conical, in fact, I'm going to say a conical body with the ring of air bladder at the widest part of the cone in the back.
Well, I think Amber described the air bladder as like surrounding the ship, so
yeah,
that
it surrounds
it can.
The ship.
It's not just at the back; like the jets can go off to the side to push the ship left to right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then you know what? You have the air bladder right in this tubular form. Does that sound more along those lines?
Think of it as like a skin, like a very thick exoskeleton of air
around the hull.
The bridge is a kind of like flat on the top and the bottom disc that is raised, you know, above the ship, so it sits on top of the body of the ship.
Okay,
so that you can see 360 degrees depending on where you're looking out of the bridge at any point.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like a raised, almost like a air traffic controller tower.
Yeah, or I mean, it is like the top deck of a ship, like how there are actual on a proper, you know, above water ship, like the
as they call them.
Yeah, like that is what the forecastle, which is how forecastle is pronounced. And boy, howdy, I got some notes about that when the first episode came out. that is sort of, but you are saying,
as someone who only recently read that word for the first time, that's a stupid way of saying.
Well, so is, on, so is gunwale, because gunwale could be pronounced gun whale, which like is so much better. Okay, but this is like a circular sort of thick disc that sits on the top of the, you know, big bulky bath escape sort of structure.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, yeah, that's sick. Can I suggest one thing?
Sure.
Maybe there's rails on the side of it running up and down on two sides of it so that the bridge can drop down into the body of the ship, like almost like a turtle pulling its head into the bulk of the ship.
Yeah, I think it's currently raised, right? But there is a like complicated, I would say instead of rails, it's like the teeth of a gear.
Yeah.
Right, where like it can crank down the central tube that it's on to like, yeah, to kind of brace.
Cool. God, I love gears and tubes.
I love fucking gears myself, because that's what I want, right? What I don't want is for this ship to be too like technologically advanced. I really like the idea of it having a lot of like mechanical.
Oh yeah, like, no, I mean nothing's too technologically advanced.
Yeah.
Down here.
Like I would say in this, the raised bridge is not nearly as sleek as you might like. You can see every rivet and weld, and like the 360 degree like viewport is not a seamless thing. It's like, you know, there's like 6-inch wide like metal structure, like crossbars, like bracing every foot of the window. You know what I mean? Like, it is not perfect.
So the three of you are standing here looking at this ship, which is kind of starting to take shape a little bit. And Zooks, there is something about this ship, just like an odd eye-catching feature of it that looks maybe like it was aftermarket. Like, maybe you don't know what this thing is doing or this design is doing on a ship built for deep sea exploration. What is the most eye-catching feature of the ship? Not including its jacuzzi propulsion system or sort of super cool raising and lowering bridge.
The bathysphere structure underneath.
Okay.
Is detachable.
Interesting. Okay.
With its own built upon look to it.
Okay, I see now. Okay, I'm looking at this picture now. So yeah, a bathyscape is not a bathysphere. It is the ship that transports the bathysphere to.
Well, a bathyscape uses a bathysphere as part of its underbelly. Yeah.
Right. So it's sort of basically kind of a submarine, classical submarine shaped ship a little bit, but with a bathysphere attached to the bottom of it with a.
Yeah,
kind of
like those Zeppelins, you know, that then have.
Yes.
Like,
oh, that's exactly right. Yeah, it looks like it looks kind of a little bit Goodyear blimpy in terms of structure. Cool. Okay.
So, I'm Goodyear blimpy.
The sphere underneath looks like it could be its own craft.
Okay, cool. That is very neat. And you start checking that out, too, because you walk towards this detachable sphere on the bottom of the ship and start checking it out. Amber, a light flickers and comes on and illuminates this ship so you can see it a little bit more clearly. And now it is well lit enough for you to catch the color scheme of the ship. What is the color scheme of this ship?
It's like... what color is Zooks?
Zooks is...
Hey, Zooks, what color are you?
Kind of...
Your coral parts, he means.
The armor parts?
Like, if someone looked at you, your primary color would be...
Yeah, like teal. Your coral... Teal.
Teal.
Nice.
Because I think he would want to blend in with underwater.
Cool. I'm going to go with, like... Fuchsia.
Okay.
I love that look underwater. Kind of like a bioluminescent fuchsia that kind of glows a little bit underwater. Love that look.
So all fuchsia, or is like the hull fuchsia or the bladder, the whatever it is, the bladder propulsion system. Fuchsia, like, is it all just all fuchsia all the time?
No, that's more of a
like the propulsion system, or the propulsion system's the whole thing,
right?
Right. This is what we've talked about. Maybe the detachable is like a very dark purple.
Okay,
that could look cool because it's a little. It could be a little bit more sleek and stealthy,
right? Mm.
And maybe like the bridge too. So you have the fuchsia and then the bridge and the bottom one are the purple.
Cool. I think that would look cool.
Any other colors you want to throw on here?
Yeah, definitely.
Flame decal, Justin.
There's green flames because that looks cool. Yeah, Dad's got the idea. That's what comes up when you... Fuchsia. It's like a fuchsia. Fuchsia.
You guys know fuchsia?
I think you are, without realizing it, going in a sort of Evangelion direction, and I'm fully yeah, here for it.
As you know, that's a huge
It's a
cultural
huge time. Important yeah, thing for you, absolutely.
Justin and I. Yeah.
Okay.
Nerve, right?
Yeah, hey!
He raises his hand above the table, waiting for high fives. Nerve anybody?
Yeah, sure. Slap, slap, slap. And finally, Devo, you approach the ship and notice through this like elevated bridge, you can kind of see down into the sort of inhabitable part of the ship. Briefly, like what does the interior look like? Without sort of saying, well, it's got. Don't be specific about like the chambers that are there, because that's something that. You know, we will build out mechanically, but if you were to describe sort of what the vibe of the inside of the ship is like.
Right.
Bearing in mind that it was built for deep sea exploration and that
yeah,
is
no,
what
no,
it was
no.
used for
I would
originally.
Say that what, like, a series of, like, let's say 8 foot by 8 foot, basically like squares, and, the appearance is that they are kind of a bulkhead, that they're there as like, if this chamber floods, right, this one seals to protect the rest of the ship, right? And okay. So you have all these individual chambers that are there that can like individually seal off. So you can either have them all open and then seal them for the rest of the ship to keep the damage minimalized, but it also creates a very sectioned off, like this could be a room for you, this could be a room for this, this is, like it gives you a lot of individual chambers to play with. It's pretty Spartan, right? It's not like
right.
set up with like windows and, you know, carved wooden doors or anything.
But it sounds modular is what you're describing.
Very modular,
like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Okay, this is you all have been eyeing this ship now for.
Can I suggest one other feature? If we have a submersible on the bottom of the ship, we should probably have like retractable landing gear.
Some kind of legs. Yes, you can assume. Yeah, this ship was used before, and that is obviously a thing that they would have also kept in mind. So like, yeah, there's landing gear that pops out of the bottom. It's a deep sea exploration vehicle. Like it of course has that.
Yeah. We don't want to land on the bathysphere.
You don't want to land on the bathysphere. That would be silly. Okay. So Mona sees you all looking at this ship and she says, oh, really? This y'all like this one? It's kind of an eyesore, I thought. But this is it?
I mean, I love this bubble tub skin it's got.
I do like the bubble tub skin. This is nice and a cushy bridge. I'm going to say very nice bridge. And
look at the colors, Duke. The colors. What would you say that is? Kind of a fuchsia?
Oh, yes. Definitely fuchsia. It's a little bit of nice. The deep purple.
Nice. And the sphere underneath looks so cool. So
and I like cool. the way that they added this landing gear. The landing gear is okay. Such a genius.
Right. Yeah, because I was worried you'd land on the bathysphere.
This would not make
otherwise.
This
would make no stupid. Sense. Like, who would even do
Amber,
that?
Amber.
She grabs
did
some...
Did you see these modular rooms?
She grabs some paperwork and is... She says, okay, all right, I'll make y'all a deal. I could let this one go for 30 lux.
Nice.
Wait, now hold on.
Nice.
I think the best that we could do is 25.
Hey, you did say it was an eyesore. This is true.
So we'd kind of be doing you a favor when we took it away.
Roll a persuasion check, Devo. Five lux is a chunk of change, so this is not going to be an auto discount.
13. Yeah. I feel like I should get advantage, though, because the eyesore thing, because that was a good point.
No. 13 does not pass. She says, no, it's 30, but I tell you what, I feel bad that you all apparently had a rough day. Your coral friend looks like dead as fuck. He looks like a dead body, like... that's like walking around like a scary zombie, and that scares me a lot.
Oh gosh, am I paling out? Am I paling out?
No, Zooks, you're going to be okay. Oh, I'm so sorry, my friend.
Okay.
She says 30, and I will throw in a very special bonus. I will throw in a pass to a very exclusive, very exciting aftermarket. For any upgrades you might need. And this is, this is a secret thing. Like, you can't go around telling everybody, like, hey, yeah, Mona hooked me up, and like, go ask her, and like, all that. Like, it's secret stuff. But
Josh, are you sure? I wouldn't want you to get in trouble with your boss because it's such a cool secret.
No, it's not it's not here. It's not, I don't do upgrades. I just sort of sell the junk and, I mean, the great ships. I'm telling you, this thing's worth its weight in gold, and it doesn't have a weight. It's worth the money.
But before we sign anything, could we take it out for a test run?
Absolutely not. This is the ocean, and you could just go. And I would have and Zooks, I would have no way of finding you, would I? Because you know why? It's the
Hold on.
It's the ocean. Like, it's not like I can hop in another boat and then, like, follow you and, you know what I mean? Like, I guess I could come with you, but then I would be kidnapped and you could just, like, kill me out there and nobody would know. Yeah. And you know why, Zooks? It's the ocean.
The ocean. And OnStar doesn't work in the ocean.
That's you have a return policy?
I do not have a return policy.
Okay, we'll take it.
I have a no returns policy, which I guess...
Does it have weaponry? Can you tell me that?
Yeah. No, I mean, but from what I can tell, this thing was used to, like, you know, scope out like weird mollusks and shit by a bunch of nerds.
Dad, go back in time and say that it was a warship.
A big battleship used for killing big dragons.
Yeah, it was for shooting through walls and stuff.
But won't we need some armaments, though?
I'm telling you, that's what my aftermarket guy is going to hook you up with.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Couldn't see the forest for the coral.
Yeah. So, what do you say? We got a deal?
Amber? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Here, here.
You all hand over the 30 lux, leaving you with 12.
We had a little trouble unlinking them from the other 12.
Yeah,
because
sure.
They all fit together.
I'm
used to that.
And she writes a couple more things. She's like, all right, I got the title here. Oh, this is just a formality, but it needs a name. Do y'all have one figured out or?
What do you folks think?
Okay, so can we just talk amongst ourselves?
Yeah. Oh, let me shake off my character. Okay.
Do you guys have any thoughts?
I want to get it right and do it perfect.
Yeah.
Because I feel like here's our record for naming ships. Mm-hmm. Star Blaster.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Huge. Fucking merchandise. Get mm-hmm. the model.
Right.
Get the model, glue it up. You know, like, huge. Uh-huh.
Still under option from Aurora.
Biggest baby.
Yeah.
Biggest baby. Like, perfect.
I think we can all agree not.
Fucking crushed it.
So good.
Oh! How about... Littlest baby.
Littlest baby. Ooh! Okay, this is actually a short conversation.
Yeah, it's the littlest baby.
Littlest baby.
This is the littlest baby.
I feel like I should have the ability to blackball.
Now, Griffin, I'm sorry, but Griffin, You ask the littlest baby. Think about how fun it will be for you to say, like, so the littlest baby is out exploring. The littlest baby cuts through the waves. The littlest baby is in a fight, right?
All right. Well, let me say a few things. And then if you still decide it's the littlest baby. The biggest baby is the monolithic body of a god that single-handedly keeps. The biggest baby and the chaperones, I am basically saying, like, the military force that protects the city. And people have different feelings about that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that it is an icon. It is a thing with a strange name. And y'all are basically saying, here's the Squeakquel?
It's an homage.
It's an homage to the big baby. A very good.
How about
it'll also help the listeners remember the time we came up with the best name ever for a boat.
I am willing to compromise, Griffin, and change it to the littlest stinky baby.
No, if so you that want way,
to look- no, you're being silly. Can I say your sandwich?
What
is
about
silly,
okay,
garbage
stinky little baby.
No, it's the littlest baby, stinky little baby.
the stinky little baby.
Littlest baby is at least superlative.
Well, we can put it in parentheses, so it'll be the littlest baby, parentheses, stinky, in parentheses.
Now, so I remember, did we have big baby and then biggest
Correct.
Baby? No. It was originally big baby, and then there was a naming. You remember this? There was a PR effort to come up with a better name than big baby, and they came up with biggest baby. It's a good podcast.
It's a great
if you haven't listened to those episodes, go back and listen to them. So it's Littlest Baby, and I'm extending my fist across the table. Littlest Baby.
Oh, man.
See, bump, Griff, bump. Griff, are you loving it yet?
It's y'all's ship. If y'all want to call it the Littlest Baby, that's fine. That's what you've decided.
Now I worry that Griffin is going to use this against us, and every time we talk to anybody, they're going to be like, and what's the name of your ship? And we're going to be like, it's the Littlest Baby. And
y'all
then they're
going to
like fucking spit in our face.
Y'all had your maiden voyage on a ship called Dreams of Deborah. I don't have a fucking leg to stand on here. I just want to make sure you spent a long time designing this thing, and it's. I just want to make sure.
That wasn't really our fault, though. You know what I mean, Griffin?
Right.
We probably would have just blazed through it.
Yeah, we could have just said we bought a ship and let...
If I had been doing this by myself, I would have just been pounding that B button.
Yeah, right?
You know, until I had a ship in front of me, because who cares?
We could have just said ship, and then, like, fan artists would have figured it out for us.
And we just looked over behind another pile, and there's the SeaQuest DSV.
Oh, yeah, we could have called it
SeaQuest. So, I mean, we could have gone with that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, she says, all right, Littlest Baby, I'll write that
I'm not going to call it Littlest.
No, we can't call it Littlest Baby.
What the fuck are you talking about, Griffin?
Travis put us up to it, Griffin. I thought you'd fight harder.
I didn't realize we'd broken you so badly over the years.
Yeah, he's so broken. It made me sad. Every second was a knife in my heart. I've broken my boy.
My boy.
I broke my child.
So
the fight's drained out of him.
Y'all what? Coordinated behind the scenes to razz me like that?
Yep.
Yeah, we thought it would be a better fight.
But you rolled over and showed us your soft underbelly right away.
Right. You helped us adjust the angle of the knife so it would go directly into your jugular vein.
You made it a cleaner kill, which was...
It's been a long...
Now that's just going to knock me out. You got to tighten it up here. Perfect.
Right
there we go. Now kick the stool. Let's name the boat next time.
All right. Yeah, she writes TBD. Boats. Yeah, it's fine. This will prove y'all own a boat, and this is for you. And she hands you all a sort of palm sized like marble diamond, and etched into it is a design that kind of looks like a big. Round potion bottle, and floating inside of it is a ship, sort of floating on the fluid inside of it. And let's just jump to you all sign the paperwork, you get the deed, and plenty of time to kill before your deadline. And so you all follow Mona's instructions.
But we didn't even ask Mona if there were financing options.
Assume there were not. And you all go down to the base level, down to the gills, and actually behind the Blue Span Brokerage building, and actually like built into the rock wall of this cliff that the city is sort of built onto. You walk back there, and there's kind of like a grotto.
But not like the drug grotto.
Not like the drug, like an actual proper sort of grotto. Almost just like a cave, right? Back here, filled with water. And it looks, you know, undeveloped. They haven't, like, there's not city back here. But you do spot a big metal shutter on the wall. And as you hold this little diamond-shaped stone up towards it, following Mona's instructions, it slides open. And you all walk into another warehouse. But this one is not the junky mess of Desdemona's Hall. This one is much more intentional. It is cleaner, and it is displaying just anything you could ever need for a ship. It is, you know, there are sample hull materials, there are weapons, there are tools and like models of specialty chambers for the inside of the ship. There's an entire luxury ship sort of floating in the rear of this this watery cave. There's stuff in here that you like didn't know existed, like ship technology that is beyond your knowledge. But also sort of scattered around this very clean, pristine warehouse, there are just huge holes in the cave wall. And as you walk inside this room and the shutter closes behind you, there's a whistling noise from one of these holes deeper in the room, and you hear a low, slow voice inquire,
"New members? It's been some time. You three should consider yourselves very fortunate. You're about to depart on a voyage through values unimaginable."
That sounds good. Excuse me, my friend, we cannot see you?
I suppose introductions are in order. I am but a humble trader displaced from my home within the Phantom Sea. I was the proprietor of a grand aftermarket shipyard just off the coast. And while my business was lost to the rages of the maelstrom, my entrepreneurial spirit was not so easily drowned.
And popping out of a hole in the ceiling right above you, you come face to face with the source of this voice. He is a long, long, long catfish whose body is still sticking in the wall and hanging down. His barbels are long and drooping into the water below you. And he says,
"My name is Felix. Welcome to the Phantom Sea Coast Co."
Damn it, I'm proud.
I am so proud.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.